The Capital Confidential podcast is brought to you by the Times Union, the leading newspaper in New York's Capital Region. Subscribe today or visit online at timesunion.com.
Whenever you're ready, I'll start saying words.
You're good, and I'm good, and I'm good. So you're good.
Thanks for taking a refugee. Three, two, one.
You want to deport an undocumented person? Start with me. Because I'm an undocumented person.
How do we beat him in an election?
We will. I'm going to run against him.
I wish you would. I wish you would, Dad. I would. Oh.
There are things in here that are unobjectionable because they're not that effective. So, yeah, sure, I'll vote for a distinctive license plate. Sure, why not?
Jim, you had your press conference at 4 o'clock.
You're having a press conference now?
That's right. I'm having a press conference.
Well, is this your space here or is it public?
No, it's my space.
Oh, this is your
space.
Don't
interrupt. Okay.
I'm David Lombardo, and this is the Capital Confidential Podcast. This week's episode features an interview with NYRA President and CEO David O'Rourke that I recorded for the latest episode of New York Now. You can catch that full program on your local PBS affiliate and online. Our conversation examined the long-term future of racing in New York, the issue of equine safety, and the state's evolving gambling landscape. Enjoy the show and the ambiance from this wet day at the Saratoga Racecourse.
Thanks for taking refuge with me here at the Times Union's gazebo on this hot and humid day at the Saratoga Racecourse.
And thanks for having me. You got a roof, so.
Well, it's better than not having a roof. That is true. So I want to begin by asking you about what people had to say when you initially took over as CEO and president at NYRA, which is, first and foremost, what a nice guy you are. And I got to ask, you know, do you, like, have dirt on everybody in town, or what's the deal with that?
No, but it's getting kind of expensive at this point to keep that up.
Okay, good, good. Well, more seriously, you know, now that you are in this leadership role, what do you hope is your trademark for your leadership at NYRA?
Well, in terms of racing, we're going into the next generation. We're pushing television. That's something I've been working on for years.
Okay.
Here, it was my primary focus before I got into this role, was on content distribution, wagering, and media. And with our Fox shows, I think we're setting kind of a new standard in terms of racing as a more general sport.
And so that's hoping to reach an audience besides the serious gambler, theoretically?
Yeah, as sports betting is starting to proliferate, we think this is a nice platform for us to engage that broader market.
Okay. Anything else in terms of the tracks themselves that you hope to leave as a legacy?
Well, legacy is not so much... there's a lot of people involved, it's
gotcha.
Not just me.
Belmont, you're the man on top, though.
Yeah, I am.
Successes are yours, the failures are yours.
That's true, yeah. Actually, it's better to attribute the success to the team and take the failure.
Gotcha.
But, well, we had 1863, which is the first new major investment up here in decades. And we think it came out beautiful. It fits with the rest of the facility. And then down in Belmont, with the Islanders coming, we're working on plans for how do we modernize that facility. So it's the amenities are brought up to a more contemporary level.
And there's a lot of work potentially going on at Belmont. When is that going to break ground? And what does that mean in terms of opportunities and challenges for NYRA?
We believe it'll break ground the next month, probably right at the end of July, beginning of August. And for the next 2 years, it'll be a little bit of a logistical challenge. So we might be at Aqueduct a little bit more than we normally would. But in terms of the utilization of the property, and there's a new train station coming there, I think it's going to be great. It's the best possible thing for that facility.
So you took over after President and CEO Chris Kay had to leave in scandal, and his predecessor also left in scandal. Is there anything about NYRA that creates this potential problem on the top, or, you know, can you avoid whatever it was that brought them down?
So I might be on a 3-year timeline.
Well, Charlie Hayward lasted longer.
That's true, he did. I think in racing, there's so many different factors that, you know, you really have to have a strong team around you. You're dealing with wagering, with a live event, with equine athletes. There's a lot of factors. So I really rely heavily on the experience of my team, which is very deep, which I've inherited, and I think we'll be fine.
And it seems like there have been some recent staffing changes on the top. It sounds like you're trying to, craft the leadership
streamline
team
a little
want.
Bit, yeah.
Okay.
I think we wanted to streamline front-side sports venue operations under Gordon Lavalette. In terms of the racing facilities, the tracks and the buildings, Glenn Kozak's been in this business basically his entire life. Martin Panzer runs the racing program. And yeah, I think we've got a good team now.
Okay. So what effect, if any, will this summer's introduction of sports gambling at Upstate casinos have on NYRA's bottom line? And how important is it that moving forward, NYRA's included any future expansions of sports gambling, including online?
Well, we'd love to participate, and there's different ways. There's one in the actual activity of taking the bets. So with the casinos upstate, the foot traffic should be good. I believe they have the ability to open OTBs there, so you'll have racing content alongside sports content, and that's really opening up a larger demo for
us.
We're
seeing that in Schenectady already.
Yeah, so it's really setting the stage for, in the future, racing is we're a content provider. So we're sports wagering content. So while it would be nice to have a brick and mortar business or even a mobile business where you can offer sports betting, the real goal for us is to have our content on these platforms sitting in, for lack of a better way of putting it, the busiest store. And it would have the ability to access other demos. Because up until this point, you know, online, we've been going after sports, horse racing customers. It's a niche product. But if you look at these sports betting platforms, it's a much broader demo where we could potentially cross-sell into. And that's where the TV kind of flows into with Fox.
And so as New York's gambling landscape continues to evolve, whether it's the introduction of new casinos downstate or new tax rates for the existing casinos, is that kind of where you see NYRA fitting into that landscape?
Oh, I think we would make a very good brick and mortar location.
Okay.
In terms of whether it's an affiliate, as we saw in the last proposed bill, or if we were granted a license, I think that would be very good for us. It would complement what we do. But in terms of sports betting as, or horse racing as content provided to sports betting platforms, I think that's where the largest opportunity for racing as an industry lies.
And moving forward, there's a study that the state's commission that's supposed to look at the entire picture of New York's gambling. And one of the things it talks about is sort of the support payments that New York racing gets through for purses, the payments that also go to breeders. How important is it that those payments continue so that there is a thriving racing industry in New York?
It's very important for our economic structure, but I think it's a good idea for New York in terms of that RFP. We'll give a comprehensive study because what happens over time with as gambling products are introduced into a marketplace, it kind of layers on top of each other. So I think a comprehensive study is probably the best thing to do at this point in time.
So we've seen a lot of high-profile horse fatalities out in California, and I'm wondering if there's anything that's prompted actions, unique actions in New York based on those deaths. Has there been any sort of response, or is that a unique incident that's not connected with the tracks that you oversee?
Well, back in 2012, 2013, we had an independent panel really review everything that we do and offer us policies and procedures and safety protocols that we implemented. And we think it was actually the best approach where management was not involved in actually assessing the entire situation, but were involved in implementing. And those policies and procedures evolve over time, but that's coming from the experts. So I think in terms of New York and our record, we're at the forefront, and we'll continue to do what is defined as the best policies and procedures, but we're not going to adjust anything unless it's something coming from an expert.
So it sounds like you're saying that the California experience doesn't really
differs from what here, at least the approach to resolving it.
And you know, despite that, and despite you know what New York has done to try to make horse racing safer, you know, there still are fatalities on a pretty regular basis in terms of horses dying. I don't know when people say regular, but horses do die on tracks and do die during training. Is that just an inevitable consequence of the sport, or is there ever a time when those might be completely preventable?
I think getting the number to zero is not realistic.
Okay.
But I think creating the safest environment possible is our goal, and that's pretty much the commitment and culture that this organization is built around.
We talked a little bit about Belmont, and you said there might be more racing at Aqueduct as a result of work being done there. Aqueduct's always kind of seen as the, you know, the runt of the litter of the three tracks. What's the long-term future of Aqueduct? You know, there's been investments in Belmont, investments in Saratoga, not so much at the Aqueduct track. I mean, is that place where you see Naira having a long-term future, or maybe not?
In the near to midterm, it's our winterized facility.
Right.
As we develop long-term plans for Belmont, we'd have to assess the economic viability of moving winter racing there. But these are decisions that would be made over the next few years. So nothing in the near term. I mean, the tracks at Aqueduct have all been redone. So they're actually our newest racing surfaces. So it's a great place to race. But in terms of commitment to the long term at Aqueduct, it's a great question, but not one we can answer quite yet.
And at Saratoga, we're doing an interview right now on a Wednesday following a two-day dark days, a unique experience here where traditionally it was 6 days of racing. The five-day-a-week meet, is this something you think is working? I know we don't have much time to judge it by. And do you think this is something that could be in Saratoga's long-term future?
It's a great time to test it with the construction going on. Once we get into August, we'll get a better feel for it. And we can monitor the numbers inside our gates. But what we're going to do after the meet is come back up, sit down with the local businesses and see how it impacted the restaurants, the hotels. And that'll allow us to make a comprehensive decision for the long run.
And while the meet itself is still 40 days, stretched out over a longer period, is that something you think could be revisited, maybe more than 40 days going forward, or are you pretty happy with that number?
Yeah, I don't think we'd be adding any more days. It's more of the how does the five-day week impact? We get the extra weekend. So theoretically, it should be good for tourism. Mm-hmm. Work-life balance. Jockeys get an extra day off, which is good. So there's been no discussion on extending the meet past 40 days. It's more of 5 days versus six, what works better in totality.
And lastly, Governor Cuomo hasn't come up here yet under his tenure. He was asked about his relationship with the race course earlier this week, said he's not necessarily a fan of racing. Does that matter so much as him being a fan and coming here, or do you feel like he's been a good steward of racing under his watch?
I think he's been an excellent steward. I think we're in the position that we're in right now because of many of the things that were done under that administration in terms of safety protocols that we have that are leading the nation. So, I definitely think that we've benefited from what has been done in New York's government under their watch.
But still safe to say, if you wanted to come here for Travers, you wouldn't turn him away.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Well, Dave, I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with me, seeking, refuge away from this rain, which seems to be lighting up. So thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me.
And that's our show. My thanks to Naira's David O'Rourke for sitting down with me. And thank you to New York Now's Matt Ryan for letting me do the interview and sharing the audio. Catch the weekly state roundup on your local PBS affiliate or at nynow.wmht.org. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a review and rating wherever you download podcasts. It helps other people discover the program and will be used in my annual performance evaluation, so I'm counting on you. Until next time, podcast adjourned.
Just heard, I tried to get you.
Ah, this day sucks.